This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is North South.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. We are recording North and South with my co-host, the Los Angeles Times' own Dylan Hernandez. Dylan, we woke up tonight, or maybe you were scanning the internet late last night with a surprise, which is tailor-made for the North and South podcast. Shohei Ohtani, how did this happen? He just sends out a video that announces that he's married? Well, how did that all happen, Dylan?
Yeah, he posted something on the internet, you know. So this is going to take like a lot of kind of cultural explaining. As you can imagine, I've had a bunch of my colleagues like calling me this morning, and I'm trying to like explain this, and I haven't done a very good job of it. So let's see if I could do a little better job here, you know. But I think like one, you kind of have to, I think, understand kind of the fishbowl celebrity culture in Japan, which is much more intense than it is here, right? So, you know, if a drama show does well, you know, they can get like a 60% rating, which, you know, would never happen in our country, right? Just our markets are a lot more fragmented. So you kind of have this situation where like an entire country will be following. I mean, that's what happened, frankly, with the WBC last year when Japan won, right? I mean, 60% of the country was like watching these games. And so celebrity is like much more intense there. And I think as a result of that, celebrities are a lot more guarded, you know, with their personal lives. This is actually, you know, as weird as this might have looked from kind of an American perspective, this is usually kind of how it's done. Right. You know, there are some parts of this that to me are going to be interesting going forward. You know, one of the things Ohtani said at least in the Japanese portion was that he will be, you know, doing a scrum. Said tomorrow. I'm not sure if that was today or that meant today, you know, or tomorrow. Because I was actually at the Lakers game last night. So I was in the press room at crypto.com arena when I saw this thing. So he will talk about this. And again, that part is kind of pretty normal. The fact that nobody knew about them dating, again, that's also pretty normal over there. I think even, you know, I was laughing thinking about this, but there's a Japanese reporter who I know very well. Probably during the off season, we might even talk more than we do during the season because we're kind of trading information and stuff. And you know, I think this was last year or the year before. At some point, we're having dinner before an Angels game. And he tells me, oh, yeah, you know, I got married last year and my wife is 7 months pregnant. You know, and the American in me is like, dude, what the fuck, man? Like, yeah. I thought we were cool, right? But there's also, again, the separation of like personal and kind of professional that you have over there. You know, say I were to, you know, invite somebody from work, say, to like a wedding. You don't get plus ones over there generally, right? Because it's, hey, this is a work thing, right? You're there, you're invited there because I work with you. Your spouse has nothing to do with this, you know? So, and I think one thing that's kind of interesting. One, he said he's gonna address the media. You know, two, he said, please kind of like, you know, refrain from, you know, kind of doing any reporting, or trying to speak to either one of our families. Last year, Yuzuru Hanyu, who is actually born the same year as Ohtani, they're from the same region, general region, kind of the Tohoku region, which is kind of the north part of the mainland there. He was a two-time Olympic gold medalist in figure skating, you know, and big celebrity, probably until this past WBC, where Ohtani kind of really elevated himself into kind of like godlike status. I would argue Hanyu was, you know, almost as popular as Ohtani, right? And probably early on, even when Ohtani was in Japan, Hanyu was probably even more popular at that point than Ohtani was. And, you know, so Hanyu kind of did the same thing, put out a Twitter release, press release, got married. 3 months later, he was divorced, you know. And when he got divorced, he said it was because of just kind of the overwhelming nature of the media, right? And I think, you know, I've just been kind of scrolling through Twitter on Japanese and stuff, and there's already kind of this whole speculation, who's the wife, right? You know, something like 10 years ago, he once said that, you know, he was asked on a talk show, what's your ideal woman? And he mentioned that, you know, well, that she'd be athletic, right? So all of a sudden, Japanese Twitter is now digging up, hey, you know what, this, you know, fairly attractive basketball player just retired last year. Nobody's seen her since. Like, is she it? You know, so it will be interesting to see how this plays out going forward. I mean, I think, obviously, the fact that we know nothing, very little about Ohtani, I think speaks to how well he's been able to keep his private life private. Again, I think he's as smart an athlete as I've ever covered. So to me, like, I'm very careful. I'm very curious, actually, how he's going to handle this. I'm guessing he's going to give enough information. Hey, this is where we met, this, that, you know. One thing that was kind of interesting is usually, and there's kind of no English equivalent for this word, but, you know, in Japanese, you would say ippanjin, right? It's kind of a, like a normal person, right? Mm-hmm. Probably the closest word we have to is like civilian.
Civilian, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, there was kind of no mention of that, right? Usually, mm-hmm. again, in these things, it'll say something like, you know, I married like a civilian, whatever. So there wasn't any mention of that. You know, so if the person has some kind of fame, I think it's going to be interesting how he tries to insulate himself from that, because obviously it becomes harder to do that, right? If this person's famous, there's going to be a ton of people that you can find that will be able to tell the media about her, you know. And again, their tabloid culture is like ruthless over there, you know. And I'm not even talking about the newspapers, you know, that cover Ohtani on a day-to-day basis. I'm guessing they're going to be very respectful, but, you know, their National Enquirer isn't like a flimsy thing. That thing's like a magazine, right? That's like, it's, I mean, their tabloid magazines are like thicker, you know, they're like six New Yorkers combined into like one. I mean, that thing's pretty thick, you know, and even though it's filled with a lot of nonsense, these stories are like long, you know, which make them read pretty credit, you know. If you're reading them, you can't really tell, you know. And I think one thing, you know, a couple months ago, there was a story that popped up actually in one of these tabloids about, you know, Tani's interpreter, and that how his interpreter was married to a former Nippon Ham Fighters cheerleader, and that the interpreter's wife was now getting bombarded with requests from women who, other cheerleaders, other women who wanted to meet Ohtani. And I think, you know, my feel is that probably, you know, the interpreter's family, the interpreter's wife's family started getting, you know, bombarded with, you know, media requests and stuff. And it led Ohtani to actually posting something on his Instagram account saying, no, he's not married to a former cheerleader. You know, a lot of the stuff in that story is not, you know, stuff in that story is not true. So again, you know, to me, it just kind of speaks again to just the intensity of, you know, kind of the coverage and how you kind of try to navigate that as a famous person in Japan. I think it's, you know, I think that's kind of tough. You know, I think I did hear one thing, you know, was that one of the teams that was kind of involved in the process with Ohtani, you know, they were under the impression that Ohtani did want to go back to Anaheim, right? And we did, you know, wind up reporting that before he signed with the Dodgers officially, that they circled back one last time to Artie Moreno and offered him a chance to match this thing, which at least shows that he was open to it. And, you know, the person that told me that there was somebody in Ohtani's life and that that was a consideration for that. That's why he wanted to stay in Orange County. And I could see that, right? He's, you know, probably up in the hills somewhere in a gated community, you know, where there's not like a bunch of paparazzi hiding in the bushes and stuff. And maybe, you know, as I kind of look back on that, I kind of wonder now, yeah, was that kind of the driving factor there? How does this look to you from like your perspective? I can say,
so if you've had that conversation with a lot of people this morning, you've had been talking a lot this morning because that was long, man.
Yeah, sorry. 7 minutes in.
I know that was long. That was long. That's fine. My point was like, do you expect his wife to be in America? Is anyone going to see her? My sense is the Japanese baseball stars, at least, have not really brought their wives to America to be with them. That's 7 months, right? That's, you know, maybe there's visits or two. I don't know. Is Ichiro even, I assume Ichiro is married, but as I've never seen his wife in America. I guess the tradition is not, so the, you know, as he mentioned, this, it's in she, right? He used the pronoun she, so she's in Japan. maybe that's never something that we see them together in America. Is that kind of the tradition with Japanese athletes coming over to America?
You know, I think a lot of that is determined by the ones that do, the spouses who do stay behind, that's because they have children who are like school age, right? Usually they do come over. Now, what you will have, you know, say Yusei Kikuchi, Ichiro, they're married, and this happens a lot, like in Japan, they're married to former sportscasters, right? For some reason, that's kind of the match that happens a lot. Now when you're married to a civilian, I guess, right? Like, I believe Hideki Matsui's wife was always here, but no one ever saw her, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, she's not famous. She's just kind of a normal person. So she kind of stayed hidden, right? And it doesn't mean, you know, in that case that, right, the player has like a bad relationship with the media or anything. That's just kind of the way it is. So my suspicion will be that if she's not like a famous person, not like a public figure, not a sportscaster, that we won't see her. I assume that she will be here at least until the kids are of school age. And even then, right, there are Japanese schools, you know, especially in Southern California, right? There are schools that are actually taught exclusively, you know, in Japanese in the South Bay. So you do have those kind of educational options. Now you can kind of question the level of these things, you know, compared to the way they were 20, 30 years ago when a lot of people were kind of coming over, right? I think a lot of these schools now are filled with the kids of people like me, frankly, right, who, you know, kind of were born and raised here and stuff. And so I've heard that the level of these things has kind of gone down gradually over time. But yeah, I think she's going to live here. And assuming she's not famous, it's just, we're just never going to see her.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to pick LA too, right? I mean, Dodgers or Angels, because he was familiar with it and was going to start a family better, you know, with the wife from Japan. And if you're going to do all that stuff, be in a familiar, not okay, let's all of a sudden do this in New York, you know, Toronto. That would have been a pretty tricky situation. We've talked a lot of it about this, about Otani. I'm kind of want to roll this into kind of a general conversation. We're in February, end of February, kind of a slow time as we get set for NFL free agency, NBA playoffs, spring training. It's all kind of, we're waiting for stuff. Otani, number one sports guy in the star in Los Angeles right now. Would you say, Dylan, would you say he's number one, even over LeBron? How would you rank kind of the top three or five LA sports figures right now?
I think he's got to be number one. I think the Dodgers are the most popular team in the city right now. You know, and I think part of it too is that I don't think LA has ever completely embraced LeBron either, mm-hmm. right? Because I think he's still, a lot of people still view him as Kobe Bryant's rival. And there's just kind of this like loyalty that people have to Kobe Bryant. So, you know, I mean, that said, I saw LeBron last night, kind of, it was one of those moments where you're like, oh my God, this is incredible, you know? Yep. And I'm the guy who just saw Messi on Sunday score this ridiculous goal. And my reaction was like, this guy's washed, you know? Mm. So, but that's
your reaction to Messi scoring a goal was that he's washed. Okay.
Watching the whole game. It was a really, really great goal, but just kind of watching the game, I thought this guy's done. But yeah, LeBron just kind of still, you know, I mean, he's, you know.
And that's against the Clippers. That's against the Clippers, which are a team that should be lined up to be able to beat them, and they can't, right? They've lost three games to the Lakers this season. That's when they really wanted, you could play there. They had the big lead in the fourth quarter, and LeBron just said, not only am I going to score as many points as I can, I'm going to stop Kawhi from doing it, which was special. He doesn't do that every game. We know that, but can he do it for one game at a time or four games in a seven-game series? But yeah, I was drawing up a rough list, and I was going to put Kobe third in LA still, because the pull of that, you know, the charisma, the magnitude of that star, it remains incredibly high.
If you look at the murals and stuff around town, I mean, you could even put Kobe two. You could make an argument that he's one.
Who do you have three then? If we take Kobe to the side, I'll tell you who I've got three for in LA. Sean McVay. Am I wrong with that one?
Yeah. Okay. I was actually going to ask you if we're going to use coaches or not.
Yeah, I'll put coaches in there. I'll put coaches in there.
Yeah. And okay. Then, see, I just think though the profile wise is still Lakers and Dodgers, right? They're so far above everybody else. So like to me, 3, 4, 5 has to be some combination of Anthony Davis, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman.
Okay.
You know, McVay is the face of the Rams for sure. Right. And I think, again, I think it's going to be interesting this coming season. We've talked about this earlier, but I think the Harbaugh
Harbaugh could get on that list, no question.
The fact that, right, the juxtaposition between the two personalities, I think, is going to be really interesting. You know, I mean, right, if they do something, Justin Herbert, but it's just that the Chargers just don't. Yeah. Right, Herbert's importance to the Chargers is immense, but you kind of don't have that market penetration, you know. You know, Kershaw's kind of hanging around the periphery of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you kind of look at the demographics of the city and everything, I mean, you could throw in, now he's technically unsigned at this point. He might come back, but we're talking about an MLS player here, Carlos Vela, you know, mm-hmm. who longtime iconic Mexican player, LAFC's first player. And he's kind of one of these like lightning rods for conversation in Mexico, in the Mexican community, because here is probably the most talented player of his generation who for a while refused, you know, refused to play for the national team in the end, right? Mm-hmm. He played in a couple of World Cups, but that has made them this figure that you constantly talk about. So I would kind of put him there. And, you know, again, right, Kawhi and PG will probably have a chance to crack that list, maybe with the Clippers moving into this new arena. But yeah, even, you know, yesterday was technically a Clippers home game. LeBron starts knocking down those threes, boy, you know, that arena very quickly turned into the Lakers' house.
It'll be interesting if that happens in the Clippers' new arena once they open that, right? Yeah. I mean, and LeBron comes in to say he's still with Lakers, so I think we're presuming that, and will there still be Laker fans? You know, will Lakers buy those tickets just for the chance to get ahead of the Laker fans who've been there for years, and you can get a, you know, cheer on LeBron or whoever? That would be an interesting. That's the whole intent, is to get away from that. And Steve Ballmer's got the money to do it, but I'd be curious to see. And I was going to throw Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, that star has dimmed a bit, right?
Yeah, no Caleb, right? He's going to have to come up with another Caleb. It'll be very interesting how he does that.
Yeah. I mean, he went from Lincoln Riley went from being, you know, on the verge of being elected mayor to, you know, are they going to fire this guy next year? That thing flipped pretty quickly. Yep. You know, we know how SC fans are. How is it in the Bay Area right now? Is Steph still the guy?
Steph is by far, it's not even close. He's still good, but also just what drives interest, what drives passion, it's Steph Curry. We'll see how long this lasts. He's untouchable, unassailable. He is the icon of this era. There's no doubt about that. There's no one who is even close to him. Might not be anybody close to him since Joe Montana. And that's a long time ago. Curry's way, 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 way up there. I'll put Brock Purdy number two. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Certainly with upward thing. 49ers hold such a sway over the populace here. They're such a national team. They are a national team. That's like just sometimes I have to let 49ers fans know why is there this debate about the 49ers every night on ESPN. It's because they're a national team. They're next to the Cowboys, probably beneath the Cowboys, but right next to them in terms of national conversation. And if Purdy leads them to a Super Bowl.
Is he above McCaffrey?
Yeah, as a conversation, as a star, yes. McCaffrey's, you know, more established player, veteran player, but he's kind of bland as a conversation. I mean, he went to Stanford, which should help him in the area, but he's a little bland. He's a running back. The quarterback with the 49ers is the position. I documented all the drama that's gone on in the entirety of the Shanahan era. Every year, there's a question about the quarterback. Who's moving up? Who's moving down? What do they do? Who do they get? Switch from Garoppolo, go to Lance, go back to Garoppolo. This is the first offseason. Well, they will have none of that because Purdy's established. But that might lower his profile a little bit just because the quarterback isn't going to be in the high of the conversation until like people say, oh, yeah, I got to get another one. That will happen. But the quarterback in the Bay Area, the 49ers quarterback is always way, way up there. Only the power of Curry can go over that. Normally it's just the quarterback, period. Three, I might go Kyle Shanahan. Like if we're putting coaches in here, the conversation with Kyle is just constant. You just base it on Kyle Shanahan and everything flows from there. They're, you know, controversial to some, angsty to others. Just the clarity of the vision, I think, draws both a lot of love and a lot of hate. I appreciate clarity, but I just wonder why there's so much debate about him when he's won so many games. He's won two playoff games every time he's gone to the playoffs. Every single time he wins two playoff games. That's something that a lot of coaches cannot say. But just in terms of star power? Like, if something happens to Kyle Shanahan, what kind of magnitude would that hit in the Bay Area? It would be gargantuan. It would be an earthquake of quite large proportions. It would be a national story too, clearly. But I think he's three. I put Clay four. Certainly a fascinating story. You know, it's, you know, obviously the championships that he's won. Obviously, he's beloved for that kind of serenity. But there's a competitiveness there underneath that. He doesn't, like, you know, talk a ton, but when he does, it's interesting. And now he's going through the, you know, the comeback, and it maybe he won't make it all the way back, and his contract, and he's kind of, you're seeing it play out when he's getting angry, when he's coming off the bench, when he's playing great, when he's not playing great. There is just a connection to Clay in the Bay Area. I think that is really, really powerful, which would, you know, if he hits free agency and the Warriors let him go, what, you know, how that would play out would be fascinating. And my fifth, I'm not, you know, Tara Vanderveer is real big. Draymond, you know, it's interesting. I can't think of a giant. I mean, Zaidi would be, you know, would be the one. And I don't know. I mean, again, if you're just thinking of it, like, Farhan Zaidi resigns. If that's what it is, that would be a massive story. But the everyday stuff with Farhan, I mean, he's the face of the franchise, but I think many Giants fans don't like that. I like the guy. Hasn't done it here yet, hasn't really pulled it off, but I think they can't do better than him at the moment. We'll see how the season goes. I'll put Farhan fifth out of this.
How about
list.
Steve Kerr?
Kerr's up there, but, you know, it's Curry. Now, Kerr is up there as a discussion point. What's his rotation? Why isn't he doing this more? How come he's not playing the young guy? Yeah, that is in the conversation, no question.
And I guess, I guess looking at it from, like, my vantage point, right, is, like, obviously, you know, he doesn't mind commenting, like, on social issues and stuff.
Yeah.
And whenever there is kind of
he's a national figure, international figure in a lot of ways. So he could be on this list. It's just that it's 10 years into it, and it's Curry's era. It's just, you know, look what he did. Yeah. He just signed his new year 2 year extension to tie himself to Curry. Curry's contract is for 2 more years. It's just such a prevalence of Steph Curry. You know, we'll see how that works with the Dodgers when everything is seen through the view of how this affects Otani, or how Otani affects everyone else. With Steph, it's just Steph Curry. This is his era, and Steve Kerr's his coach. Draymond Green's his running mate. Klay Thompson's his backcourt. I mean, like, everything is Steph related. So it's like Al Davis did with the Raiders. Like, there was a reason why his coach, you know, Tom Flores didn't make the Hall of Fame for so long. It's like, it was just considered, this is Al Davis's team, not the coach. It's Al Davis's team. John Madden got in the Hall of Fame, you know, for his TV stuff too. So I think Steph has that kind of power and that kind of pull, where the conversation is him. Even if you're talking about other things, the conversation still flows through him. And Curry could be on this list. Obviously, if he had left, it would be a huge story. But Bob Myers left was a big story. It wasn't, you know, it's still with Steph. It's still all Steph and Steph-related topics. But we'll see how that, you know, we'll see how long that continues. It's just, it's gone on and on and on. And it's just now feels like a natural part of the Bay Area. That's just baked in. How about, you got any up and comers in LA? Anybody you want to circle, like, this guy could be coming.
I mean, I would still go back to, I guess, the Harbaugh thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's a potential, like, game changer in the market. And I kind of, again, I think Harbaugh also is going to have the ability to potentially elevate McVay too, right? As much as McVay is definitely the face of the Rams, but kind of that conflict, you know, and I think I've mentioned this before, but, you know, in different sport, but when Jose Mourinho and Pep Guardiola were, you know, managing Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Spain, that became, like, kind of its own thing, right? And I could totally kind of see something like that here, right? Because of the contrast in personalities, I could see them, you know, I could see them getting along really well. I could also see them getting under, right? I mean, the line between love and hate is very thin there. So I could also see them definitely getting under each other's skin too. You know, they obviously have, right? The two franchises over the way the stadium was financed and all that kind of stuff. There's kind of bickering there to begin with. So there's definitely elements there to kind of blow things, you know. And I think both teams obviously are kind of set up right now to have success, right? You know, Harbaugh got the quarterback that he wanted. He's got Justin Herbert, something to build around. Rams, you know, I mean, right now they're kind of screaming from the mountaintops about how all the money's come off their books. finally have a first round pick since Jared Goff. You know, they're going to have the options to do something and get good pretty quickly. So to me, that's kind of,
I wish they played each other two times a year. That's always the fun part with Harbaugh. Yeah. Like when they play each other, the Ohio State and Ryan Day and Urban Meyer, Seattle with Pete Carroll, SC with Pete Carroll. Like he loves going up against him. I don't think they're playing this season. I don't know when they're going to play next. Well, I guess they'll play each other in preseason. And so that'll be fun.
Well, you know who I left out? Juju Watkins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Superstar, right? Yeah.
Yeah. For a women's basketball player, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, at least like kind of like in my adult life that I remember anything remotely close to this. You know, team comes back from like the road, their kids waiting outside the arena for the bus to show up to get her autograph and stuff. Yeah, she seems like kind of like one of those transcendent athletes. I'm not sure how much longer she's going to be at school. Mm-hmm. She sure seems to be ready for kind of that next level. But who do you have up in the Bay Area that you
think? Well, I was going to say Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, you know, that's one guy who could break loose on in the Warriors and certainly not eclipse Curry, but could be like, that's the next generation. He's not Curry. No one's ever going to be Curry, but there is such a interest in the Warriors now because of Curry and Draymond and all the rest that a Kuminga, that this elevation's been, you know, you could feel it in the Bay Area. Jung-Hoo Lee with the Giants, we'll see. It could be a vast disappointment, but it could be something really interesting. He's got a personality. That's very clear. He kind of likes the limelight. That will play in the Bay Area. If he's good, it will really play. If he's not good, it might become irritating. But I think that they've certainly paid him to be a star. And, you know, with the Warriors WNBA team coming up, not this year, but next season, they haven't named it yet, but they're going to play at Chase Center. If they somehow could get Sabrina Ionescu, the Bay Area girl, you can't just go get one of the best players in the league. But that would be gargantuan. Like, that would be something that would change kind of the way the Bay Area feels about, you know, women's basketball, the way the Bay Area looks at basketball. That would be, you know, an instant stardom in the Bay Area. Don't know that, and it may not happen, but that is one I would be looking for sure. Now, I want to look, only thing, we're the only podcast can do this. Okay, Dylan, let's now rank all California. Let's just take all the names we named, and we can throw Sacramento into that, although Sacramento people might not be happy with us talking for Sacramento. Who's number one in California? Who would you say is number one in California, taking all things into account?
Huh. I mean, you know, because I was going to say like Ohtani's international, but Steph is too, you know, the NBA is, you know, right. Yesterday on Press Row, we have, you know, a handful of reporters over from China. Huh. Steph and Ohtani. I mean, are we talking about big within California?
I think amongst the California conversation, but, you know, the international part of it affects it. Like we react to how big Ohtani is because we're seeing it. You know, that's part of the conversation. It's a close call. I think I might go Bay Area bias on this one. Yeah, I just think four championships.
He's won. That's I mean, to that point, right? He's won. Ohtani hasn't done that yet.
Ohtani with the two-way thing, you know, you kind of forget about it because he's not going to pitch this year. And I don't know when he's going to pitch again, but that is remarkable. We're not seeing it right now. I'll go Curry 1, Ohtani 2. That's what I'll go.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird, right, putting Steph above LeBron. But, again, if we're doing it within the context of the state, I do think, again, right, I don't think at least L.A. hasn't completely, you know, it's so weird to put, like, LeBron, like, third on anything. Again,
I'm putting LeBron third, Curry, he's incredible, and he's 39. But I would bet you Curry has more fans in LA than LeBron has fans in the Bay Area. I don't think that's a question. There are people in the Bay Area who hate LeBron. I don't know that anybody hates Curry, like won't watch LeBron or will do it, you know, with, you know, trying to look away and not wanting to believe what they're
saying.
Doesn't
hate contribute to stardom though? Like if
no question. That's part of it.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think part of what made Barry was the fact that he would come to LA and you would hear booze.
Yes.
Molly, we never heard.
But you also heard it because he was so great, right? I mean, it's all baked into the general conversation. It's all elements. I'm just thinking I'll put Steph ahead of LeBron, and I put him slightly ahead of Otani. So we got Steph, Otani, LeBron, three. So who's four? Would you go Betts? I'd go Clay, Shanahan. He's stumped.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, well, because again, like it's right. I have trouble putting, I don't know, like Shanahan ahead of like McVay.
Yeah, I put McVay. You know, I put McVay four. I put McVay four.
Yeah, but slightly, again, like you know. That said, though, like within kind of this market, right? I don't think, you know, that's the thing, though, right? Is that the Niners are much more important to the Bay Area than McVay is to Los Angeles. And frankly, I mean, you know, I've mentioned this before, but the Niners have a lot of fans down here too. I mean, so I guess I would go with whoever is at the top of your Niners list, whether that be Purdy or...
Wait a minute. Yeah, I forgot about Purdy. I forgot Purdy. Yeah, Purdy four. Right? Yeah, Purdy four.
Yeah.
Purdy four, McVay five. How about that?
Okay. I can live with that.
And with Shanahan on the outside looking in and some others on the outside looking in. But, yeah, I forgot about Purdy. Yeah, you're right. The 49ers have to be accounted for on this list because they might – I mean, Lakers probably the most popular team, just trying to go through all contexts and all understanding. Like, they're probably the most popular team. They might be the most popular team in sports. But the 49ers are two. Like, you know, what are those franchise values? I think – The Warriors are like number two overall. I think the Lakers are one. I think it's right in there. It's like that reflects something too. Marketplace, you know, interest, international interest, stars. But the 49ers have to be accounted for, and I'm going to do it with Purdy. Now we could flip Shanahan in there, whatever, just a way to get. But I think Purdy, kind of with the arrow going up, the chance that he could be great. No, he could be a chance he could be terrible, right? And he's off this list altogether next year. But good. We did our leap year. We do it every 4 years now, Dylan, or we could just do it every last week of February. Our rankings in LA and the Bay Area and our overall rankings, we'll see how we do. We'll just remember these lists. And we went with Steph Curry. I think we're right on that one. And Shohei could blow everything down, no question.
I do find it interesting that, right, and I think this is kind of the theme of this podcast, right, is the fact that, like, again, within the context of LA, in the context of the state, to me, kind of the order of, like, the LA guys changes a bit, right? Because I'm not sure, you know, again, I think Mookie Betts in LA is a very big deal. I'm not sure, I assume people in the Bay Area don't, like, hate Mookie Betts, right?
No, do not.
Yeah, that's the thing. No. It's like,
and if Freeman. Yeah, or Freeman. Kershaw maybe a little bit, but not, right. not it's not like the old days. I mean, everyone hated Steve Garvey or everyone hated, you know, Davey Lopes and all that stuff. Like it's not Lasorda. It's not even close to that. Maybe they run into each other a few more times. I don't think they like the whole Dodger ethos, but that's a whole other thing. And the Giants just aren't as
management.
Exactly. Yeah, that whole. But then they hired Farhan, right? I mean, like, so how can you? I think there was some distrust of Farhan from the beginning because he was coming from the Dodgers, and also he came before the Dodgers won the World Series. Right? He leaves the Dodgers to take the Giants job, and then the Dodgers win the World Series. So it's all mixed up in that. But California's an interesting place. I'm glad that we're trying to put some of that into some kind of general context, but. I was just thinking about this. I go, man, there's some, like, hard pressed to put many people above Steph, Shohei, and LeBron, right? I mean, just Messi would be one. Who else? Maybe Aaron Judge, Mahomes for sure. Then, like, who else? I mean, Giannis, I don't know. I mean, wouldn't put him over Curry and LeBron just as a star. Just as a conversation thing, not as a player. As the way I kind of thought of this was if this player retired or coach retired today, what would be the lead story? Who would be the first you mention? I think Curry, LeBron would be really close. Otani, all close, all major. And I kind of parcel out the rest kind of based on that. Like if Kawhi said it, would it be that big a deal if Curry said it at the same time? No. Right. Yeah. That's kind of how I measure this. And some of it is like, you know, LeBron's 39. So you're not feeling like that's going to be too far away, but interesting way to do this, Dylan, maybe we figure out another way, but it's a good way to while away a leap day. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You got anything else there, Dylan? Anybody else? Any other stars that you cover getting married or have been married? A surprise? Only throw it out there? Nothing? Zero?
I don't think so. Yeah, this is kind of a first for me. You know, there's part of me that kind of wishes I was talking to somebody about this. You know how like every now and then like politics or something else kind of comes into sports and you kind of have to use different reporting tools and kind of it feels different for like a couple days. And there is a part of me, you know, the Dodgers don't play until tonight. I was talking to somebody like, maybe I should just jump on a plane over there and just kind of I kind of want to see kind of that Japanese like celebrity culture getting it covered from that angle. Again, it's gonna be, I'm very interested to see how he's gonna play this, because this is you know, again, with the other guy who was a big star, who again was very good with the media, Yuzuru Hanyu, the figure skater. He was married for 3 months. So wishing the Ohtanis better luck there.
Many, much, much. But they could have been married for 3 months already. Who knows? I mean, who knows? Yeah. He might have already beat that record. All right, Dylan. Way to go. Good conversation. We'll do this again next week.
All right. See ya. Bye.